This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking lawns and gardens, and we have some folks here who can answer your lawn and garden questions. Visiting with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, home economist Pat Whitaker is with us. So if you have any questions dealing with canning and things of that sort, give Pat a call. She has the answers for you. Master Gardener Jack Smith is with us from the Rutherford County Master Gardeners. And from the UT Extension, we have an intern who is majoring in MTSU Family and Consumer Sciences, Mary Beth Lee. So between the three of these folks, I think we probably have some answers for you. Our phone number is 893-1450. And let's start out by saying good morning to Pat and Jack and Mary Beth. How are you all doing today? Doing okay?
We're doing great.
All righty.
Excited to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. As you look back over the past week, has there been anything that seems to have been more dominant than others as far as interest from the public goes?
Oh, sure. Right now, the phone rings off the hook with canning questions and people coming in the door in a panic over something they've done that they fear might poison the family.
Oh, no.
but we have had a number of things. One of the most common questions we're getting is that people have these wonderful smooth top stoves, and now they're discovering that those aren't recommended for canning on. So that's frustrating a lot of people.
And why is that? Why would that not
well,
work?
Well, the heat builds up under the canner over the time that it is required for processing, and it can actually crack that surface.
Ooh.
And in some cases, extreme cases, it could actually fuse the canner to the surface.
Even worse.
Yes.
So not only do you lose your stove, but you lose your cannon, and they're all stuck together.
It can be a mess.
Wow. They never thought of that in the old days when they came up with those new glass top stoves.
No, and I think when they designed those stoves, people had quit canning. And now that they're back at it, it's a real concern on how to make that work. So we generally recommend they look at their manufacturer's instructions. Those do vary a little bit according to the manufacturer.
So some of the stoves do work?
Some seem to be able to work with certain types of things, but they need to look that up. But generally, that just doesn't work.
So, word to the wise, if you have a glass top stove, don't get into canning?
Well, you're going to have to find some alternative methods to use your canner. You're going to have to do some different things. So,
What else could you do?
Well, you can use an induction cooktop, which is a wonderful little thing. As I call it, it's a highfalutin hot plate.
All righty.
And if you have a stainless steel water bath canner, you can successfully can that way. If you happen to be lucky enough to have one of the old hot plates that have the coils, like the kinds we grew up with,
yeah,
remember?
Absolutely.
Those will hold up under a canner. Unfortunately, the new ones we have now have a sensor built in them, and as a safety feature, and they will cut off. So the hot plates you go and buy now won't work for a canner because they will cut off when the heat gets up to a certain intensity.
But the old hot
plates
get hot enough.
Will stay hot during the process that you need to be canning.
Interesting. Now, does this have to... I've never canned, obviously. How long does it take for a canner to get hot enough, and how long do you have to keep it hot?
Well, that varies, of course, to your process as to whether your water bath canning, which is just done in a canner that with boiling water, or the pressure canner. So your pressure canning may last anywhere... You'll have to get it up to, say... 10 pounds and maintain it at that for 35 minutes. So you've got to be able to maintain a temperature for a period of time. And then whatever time it takes, if you're in a water bath canning, it takes to get that big pot of water boiling, a rolling boil, before you put your jars in.
And I guess this big interest in canning all of a sudden is because the produce is coming in from the gardens.
That's exactly right. Another one that I seem to get often that is very, just had a gentleman come in yesterday who had gotten, probably 100 ears of corn, and they had canned it, but unfortunately they didn't realize that that needed to be canned in a pressure canner, and they did water bath canned it, and they were losing all their corn. Corn is anything other than tomatoes, pickles, jams, and jellies has to be pressure canned. Any other food.
Well, they need to take a class, it sounds like.
Well, we had to have a short course in my office for this gentleman yesterday because he had more corn at home ready to can. And so I just sat him down and said, okay, now here's what you do.
And he learned the hard way.
And I'm afraid he said the pigs would eat some good corn. He was afraid.
No. Well, now, of course, Jack is here with us today, and he's going to help us determine what's happening on the gardening side. He's one of our Rutherford County Master Gardeners, and this time of the year, are we seeing problems with any particular? Are we having bug problems? Or
we always have bug problems.
We always do. Okay. The eternal bug problems.
Yes, but this year particularly, it seems like we've been having a real problem with squash bugs. Uh-huh. And people come in and says, what can I do about it? Cut them down.
Cut the plants down?
Yep, because once they get in there, the plant's gone. Because what they do is they drill a hole in the side of the main stalk, and they get in and destroy the interior of that plant stalk, and the plant's going to die. So once you see it beginning to wilt, you just might as well go in with a knife or a hoe or something and just go ahead and put it in the compost pile because it's not going to produce.
So if you see, how do you know it's a squash bug when you see it?
Look down in the bottom close to the soil surface, and if you start seeing a little hole or something in the side of the plant there, guarantee you got a squash bug.
Okay, so and that's strictly with squash.
Well, you can also find it sometimes with cucumbers.
Okay.
Squash, it's named the squash bug. I was over at the farmer's market the other day, Tuesday morning, when we have a master gardener table set up over there, and we had a lady that wrote down a question, and she had two questions. One was, is it common for one of these foreign language type wilts for tomatoes? I've forgotten what the name of it is, but it's a tomato wilt. And was it common to this area, and is there a cure for it? Answer to both questions is one word each. No. No. Oh, well, excuse me.
I was afraid you were going to say
the first
that.
One is yes, because the wilt is common to this area, but there is no cure for it.
That's a shame.
Yes.
Are people having success with tomatoes this year?
Oh, yes. Yes. Temperature is a problem, though, because tomatoes are sensitive to temperatures. Anything, when it starts getting to be 90 and above, they don't tend to want to flower and set fruit as well as they do when the temperatures are in the 70s and 80s.
Are there any tomato plants, varieties of tomatoes that are new this year that seem to be really catching on? I mean, the Lucky Stars or something like that a while back really caught on, and everybody said, oh, man, these things grow.
The real common thing with tomatoes now are the heirlooms.
The heirlooms, that's
heirlooms
interesting.
Going back. Yeah. Going back the other way rather than, there are new plants on the market. But
now, are heirlooms harder to grow?
Not necessarily. They may be susceptible to a few more of the insects, a few more of the diseases. But if you kind of look after them and make sure that everything is clean, and you just kind of make sure that you've picked all the insects off or done your thing for insects, that they're going to produce and they'll do well.
So we need to remember that, is it Tuesdays that your group is over there at the Ag Center?
Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh, you're both days.
Both
okay.
days. We're there selling Cokes and water and keeping everybody refreshed and also answering questions.
Can people find out about how to become a master gardener, the next class? And
what they can.
All righty.
Yes, they can. We have all that information there.
So make it a point to be over there tomorrow morning, as a matter of fact.
Yes, it will be.
And Jack may be there.
I won't be
Jack
there.
Jack will not be there.
No, but there will be a couple of other people that will be there.
Okay. So don't ask for Jack Smith tomorrow.
Not tomorrow.
All righty. Mary Beth Lee is with us also, and she is one of the interns with the UT Extension here in town. She's from MTSU, a student there, and her major is Family and Consumer Science. Mary Beth, what is that? Tell us a little about that major.
Well, it's pretty much just home economics. They renamed it to Family Consumer Science, so I would like to be able to do what Ms. Pat does, hopefully, after I graduate, be a Family Consumer Science Extension agent. And I can also teach Family Consumer Science in a middle or high school with my degree.
Alrighty. And so when will you be graduating?
In December.
Pretty soon then.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to jump right out of there and have some fun. Well, that sounds exciting. And so you'll be looking for a job.
Yes.
In December or mm-hmm. January anyway. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
What made you decide to go into this field?
I was in 4-H all through middle school and high school, and I loved it so much that I wanted to become an extension agent and help other kids and make a difference for them like my extension agents had done.
Pat, you probably hear that quite a bit because we have such a strong 4-H program
here. That's right. Well, and I'm a product of that as well. I was a 4-H'er and grew up here in this county. Jack was a 4-H'er.
Jack just raised his hand.
So, so many of us who had those opportunities do want to give back to the community and serve in that way.
And 4-H is available at just about every school in town. I'm sure there must be one or two, but
there's some of the city schools that do not have it. I know, because I don't work with the 4-H side, so I'm not real current on all the schools that they are or are not in.
But now, this is not strictly agriculture. It's everything from public speaking to... Mary Beth, tell us about it. You're probably the most recent to to be a part of that.
I didn't really ever do any of the agriculture stuff, actually, and I was really involved. I did a lot of community service work, did some public speaking. At first, I was really scared about public speaking, but my mom kind of made me do it, and I got better at it, and I'm not as nervous anymore to speak in front of people. And I also did, like, some leadership stuff and just learned a whole lot about working with people and volunteering in the community, and got involved on a state and even a national level, and got to meet a lot of people from all around the country, so that was really cool.
Oh, that is great. And so that's opening doors for you right now, and it got you so excited about a career with a group like the Extension Service that you wanted to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Had some good positive role models there. Pat, is that what happened to you? Did you have some role models as you were growing up?
Oh, exactly.
4-H.
Yes, exactly. The agents that I worked with here in this county of the longest tenure were Martha Jo White Smith and Ben Powell. And there were others but came and went, but those were the one I had for the longest. And so that really shaped my life in determining what I wanted to do. So when I graduated from college, I started out as a 4-H agent in Sullivan County. And then worked on into Extension in Virginia, and then came back, after living at several other places, came back to Rutherford County and started back here as a program assistant again. Back in the day when they would not let you work as an agent in your home county, and in that time I worked as a program assistant then until we were able to, they removed that barrier.
Well, I'm glad they did remove it.
You're
back
yes.
home.
Yes.
And Jack, tell us your 4-H story. I think this is interesting hearing how 4-H has an impact on people's lives.
Well, it did, yes. I was born and raised in Lincoln County, and I grew up on a dairy farm. And my main project, which took most of my time, was dairy production. And I was a state winner in dairy production. I was fortunate enough to go to the National 4-H Congress that was being held in Chicago at that time. I was an all-star, what they call an all-star award winner, and a Ball State winner, and state winner in dairy production. And but I got away from the dairy and the farm. I wound up coming to Middle Tennessee State and graduating in 1959. 52,
Go Big Blue.
52 years ago, and I graduated with a degree in education and industrial arts, and wound up teaching in Millington, Tennessee for about 3 years, and said, it ain't going to pay the bills. So got into a situation where I worked in property tax evaluation and worked in real estate appraisal for 40-odd years in Memphis. And then when my wife and I retired, we said, well, we're coming back to Middle Tennessee to stay, because our two children were born in Memphis. Both of them wound up living in Murfreesboro.
Wow.
Of all the weird, strange things, you know.
So you're here.
So we're here, yes.
That is good. And all of this relates back to 4-H, I mean.
To a
all,
degree, yes, it does.
Interesting.
My work with the Master Gardener Program, you know, kind of goes back to my history and on the farm. And you can always take the boy out of the country, not the country out of the boy, you know.
Absolutely. And it's interesting how the things that happened in our childhood days shape where we are today.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Good morning. Let's try that again. Are they there? No. Had some problems there. I'm not sure what happened. Lost that one. Call us back and we'll have you on the air. 893-1450. Let's check on the traffic and weather. And we will continue the conversation right here on WGNS. And Scott's trying to figure out what's happening on that line. If you can't figure it out, just take a hammer to the phone. That'll do it.
Like heaven glow. Meet me on the mountain. I got no place to go. I like my daylight to be silver. I like my night skies to be blue.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
There are several things I enjoy about this time of the year, one of them being baseball. And, of course, the smell of newly mowed grass. This time of the year also brings the Ancelotta Caprese Salad at Paleo's Grill. If you haven't had Paleo's Ancelotta Caprese Salad, you have missed one of the joys of summer. Now just picture this. Some slices of thick Tennessee-grown tomatoes, and then delicious mozzarella cheese. And top that off with delicious basil, grown fresh right there in the garden outside Paleo's. I guarantee you, once you try the Ancelotta Caprese Salad at Paleo's, you'll come back and enjoy it again and again. So let the Ancelotta Caprese Salad at Paleo's Grill be another one of those special ingredients of summer. Paleo's Grill, 730 Northwest Broad, diagonally across from Haynes Lumber Company. I'll see you at Paleo's.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is Chuck Clemens. I'm very excited about all the new growth here at Ford of Murfreesboro. I'm glad all my friends are still here. I've been here for 19 years.
Same employees, same great service. Ford of Murfreesboro.
A lot of us have been working in Murfreesboro a long time, and we hope to continue seeing our valuable customers.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Tune-ups, oil changes, auto repair. 896-1407. Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. We care, and we're here to help.
WGNS traffic, looks like things are moving pretty well right now. No problems around the Murfreesboro area. Looking around, Interstate 24 is moving slowly, but it is moving, and that's the important thing. Drive carefully. Don't get too close to the car in front of you. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you now by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Plenty of sunshine today with hot and humid conditions as high temperatures climb towards 97 degrees. Tonight we'll see mostly clear skies with a low temperature of 75. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin. Right now, 81.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. At my bank, you're known by your name. Come by today, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, and experience the difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC.
American Radio's biggest voice.
You know who I am.
G. Gordon Liddy. Weekday mornings at 9 on the Good Neighbor Network. Talk Radio WGNS Murfreesboro.
He ought to know that by now.
Welcome back.
I know his job takes a lot of him. There's not much left for him to give, but I need more.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, and visiting with us from the UT Agricultural Extension, Pat Whitaker is here, Master Gardener Jack Smith, and UT Extension intern Mary Beth Lee, who's a student at MTSU. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450, and let's see if the phone works. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good, Bart. How are y'all?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling. Everybody's happy.
Good. I had a question about some watermelons.
All righty. We got the watermelon pros here.
All right. My watermelons are getting up to about the size of a softball, and then they're just dying off, and I don't know why.
What would cause that? Anybody have an idea? About the size of a softball, just dies off after that.
I have not a clue. I really don't. My suggestion would be to one of those where you have a plant where it's dying. Dig that plant up and take it into the Extension Service office, because they would be able to take a look at it, and if they can't answer, they can get it into the Ellington Center in Nashville, and I'm sure that they would be able to give them something. I would think that it would be, I'm thinking it would either be a fungus or an insect, one of the two. But that's strictly
a guess. The vines are in good shape.
Okay. Well, your vines, the insect might not be a problem, but it then might be some type of fungus that's getting into there. But my suggestion would be to take a vine that you've got, maybe a small vine where it's beginning, the watermelon is beginning to die off. Take that plant into the Extension Service and get one of the guys up there to take a look at it and see what happens.
All right, then. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Good luck to you. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
I have a question about a Kolpak cannon.
Okay.
Can you Kolpak green beans?
Yeah. Well, now, when you say Kolpak, do you mean just packing the green beans in the jar and putting hot liquid in it and then pressure canning the green bean?
Yes.
Yes, you can. You can Kolpak green beans, but you do need to pour hot liquid over those green beans and then seal them and then pressure can them according to the recommendations.
Now, how long would they have to cook?
Well, you would follow the recommendations for your green beans at the pressure. Do you have a canning book that's recent, or the instruction manual that comes with your canner? Your pressure canner that tells you that?
Oh, I don't have a pressure canner. It's a Kolpak canner.
You're talking about, okay. You're talking about a water bath canner,
right?
Then, yes, ma'am. Because when we do green beans, I mean, any vegetable, you can either put it cold in the jar, or you can cook it and then put it in the jar. And that's called raw pack or hot pack. Mm-hmm. But you cannot do green beans in a water bath canner. It must be pressure canned, because your green beans are a low acid food, and that
uh-huh.
needs to be pressure canned at 240 degrees, and you can only reach that temperature under pressure. So you must do your green beans in a pressure canner.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good luck to
Bye-bye.
You. Thanks for calling. Our phone number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about tomatoes. Okay. What is it now? Because every time I got the tomatoes get ripe on the vine, the birds have been picking at them, and they don't bother them as long as they're green. So as soon as they get a little red on them, they start picking at them. What can I do about that?
We that is something that has come up several times this year, and the birds are attracted to the color red. So what you're gonna, what we, there's really nothing, not much that you can do except you can do one or two of the following, and that is you can put a netting over them. You can go to places like the co-op or Lowe's or places like this and buy a net that you can put over the tomatoes, which will keep the birds away. However, I heard somebody talking just a few days ago that the birds had learned to get under the net. But
They won't bother them long as they're green. They only bother them and
right.
they eat. It's they just pick them.
It's the color red. And we had another fellow who came in and said that he was having a problem with them. And while the tomatoes were green, he went to some place and bought some red Christmas, plastic Christmas balls. And he put the red Christmas balls in the hung them on the tomato plants. Well, the birds would come and peck those red Christmas balls, and they would fly off, and he hadn't had any problem with them since.
So he.
Anyway, I'm going to have to try that, because they eat too much tomatoes.
Yes,
I can't hardly get a tomato off the vine without having to bite in from birds.
That's right.
It's getting
to be a real problem.
If you try it, call us back and let us know if that works.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I can see how that would really work, because they learn by that's a good-looking red tomato there, and they go try it, and it doesn't work.
That's right.
And then they give up and go away.
Yeah, and I've heard it's also nothing but mockingbirds has been the problem this year. So,
we certainly have a lot of those, too.
Oh, yes. State bird.
893-1450. If you have a question dealing with lawns and gardens, give us a call. 893-1450. This has been a very rough year as far as lack of rainfall. What kind of problems is that causing for gardeners, for people with yards, for the water table underneath the earth?
Well, really, our water is not that bad. We did have a spell back in, I believe it was May. May, we went about 4 weeks without any water. And then we've had some rain, and we've had some occasional rain. I think we're still something in the positive range as far as rainfall is concerned this year. But the heat has been the severe problem. But the heat and the lack of water in the month of May created the real problem. And it's a carryover from that month into the present time.
Are there any really popular plants that give produce that do well in heat, that really thrive with heat?
Bermuda grass.
I don't like to eat that.
Okra. Now, I think that's one of the best lawn grasses around, though.
And so it's doing real well.
It's doing well. My yard looks real good.
All right.
And I don't irrigate.
Well, our good old southern okra likes this heat.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right. That's right.
So at the farmer's market, plenty of okra.
Okra's starting to come in, I noticed.
Yes.
What has this hurt farmers? Has it had a real impact on farmers?
In some areas, yes. In some areas. We have been fortunate in this area. It's been spotty. You might get an area that's 2 miles in circumference that will get 3 inches of rain in 30 minutes. And outside of that 3 mile area, the sky is clear. And so it's been real spotty.
Sounds like Murfreesboro.
Yes, it's been real spotty this year. So, if you've had rain, and there's some spots around the Middle Tennessee area that have had no rain, but it's really kind of weird the way the weather pattern has been this year.
But you're not seeing it in a lack of produce then at the farmer's market.
The farmer's market, the tables are loaded. They really are.
That's great.
I've seen some excellent produce at the farmer's market this year.
Now, by the way, the farmer's market's in the morning, 6 to 11 at the Lane Agri-Park, next to Paws, just down from Sam's on John Rice Boulevard.
Correct.
What kind of items would you be finding at the farmer's market tomorrow?
Well, we're coming into all kinds of those hot season crops that are doing really well. There's still a good bit of squash out there I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Okra's coming in. There's still some green beans available. Corn is the big thing that people are clamoring for right now, and there's plenty of corn out at the market.
I had some corn last night that was really good. I don't know what kind it was, but we were over at my son and his wife's home, and she had some fresh corn. It was nice and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
There
really
are some really tender. Good varieties out there now of mm-hmm. sweet corn that are at the market.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call. Well, I was just wondering, it seems like this year, and you may have already answered the weather, the heat, whatever, but it seems like this year, having problems buying the homegrown tomatoes have any flavor to them. So many of them are just flat, you know, like what you buy at a grocery store. Is that the weather? And I've been buying them at the market. I've got one or two people I normally buy off of, and sometimes you get one that's got flavor, and next time you get one that's just flat as a pancake.
Hmm. Interesting. What would be, have you heard that?
I haven't heard that. I would think that it would probably go back to the variety. Sometimes a lot of the producers now are producing something that appeals to the eye and not necessarily to the taste buds, and they're also producing something, a product that is keeps its shape and its color well, it doesn't bruise and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And those tend to not be as flavorful. I would think that really it would go back to variety more than it would be to weather conditions and or growing conditions.
Okay, so
heirlooms, but it just seems like that. Yeah,
just seems like what you're popping out on us. It seems like what did you say?
Well, it just seems like, you know, just it's kind of hit and miss, and I have been trying to buy heirlooms instead of the standard pumped up stuff for, you know, show and tell, but I don't know. Just seems like this year, maybe the guy buying them off is mixing in the stuff. I don't know. Uh-huh. But anyway, I just thought I'd ask.
In all probability, if they have been irrigated and they've been over irrigated and become kind of watery,
yeah,
because they grow a little bit too
fast.
That's
what it seems like. You know,
that may be
watery.
A problem. That could be
so,
a problem.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. This guy's a big producer, so yeah. Who knows?
Well, I say keep listening, and maybe somebody else has noticed the same thing.
Okay.
All righty.
Thanks a lot.
Calling. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
If you have noticed that yourself, call us. Like to hear from you. 893-1450, sort of bland-tasting tomatoes. Nothing real sweet or anything. I think back to a statement I think Dwayne Trail used to talk about was when to pick your tomatoes in particular, saying that, and I think it was in the afternoon, as opposed to morning, so that they could have gone all day, and the warmth of the sun brings out the sweetness in them.
Correct.
So if you pick all your tomatoes in the morning, they're not going to be as good tasting as they would probably. Would that be noticeable?
From a day-to-day business, basis, yes. You could probably pick from the same plant. You could pick the tomato today, and another one tomorrow, and another one the next day, and you would probably notice a difference in the flavor because of the age that it's standing on the plant, yes.
Mm-hmm. So it is better to pick in the afternoon.
Yes.
Alrighty. 893-1450. What about honey? I know everybody's concerned about honey. We had a few years ago a bee scare, a lack of bees, and then, of course, with hay fever, pollen, and what have you, people are looking for local honey to reduce that problem, and that has been proven, by the way.
Yes, it has.
If you eat local honey.
Yes.
What is local honey? 25 miles, 50 miles, how far away?
I'm thinking that somewhere max 25 miles. And if you can stay, the closer you can stay to where you live, the better it's going to be, because the bees are going to be concentrating on nectar from this location where you're living. And that's going to be the contributor to your problem.
So Rutherford and the surrounding counties,
yes,
basically.
Yes, I'd say so.
Alrighty. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. 893-1450. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call. If you've been one of those who've had some tomatoes that weren't as tasty as you remember in years past, call us. 893-1450. And are you growing more of the heirloom tomatoes yourself, or are you going with some of the others? And I'd like to hear which ones you're growing. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
How much you love me, and it just blows me away. I've never been this close to anyone or anything. I can hear your thoughts, I can see your dreams. I don't know how you do what you do. I'm so in love with you. It just keeps getting better.
The Good Neighbor Network is on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11, and WGNSradio.com. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Weather Eye.
Plenty of sunshine today with hot and humid conditions as high temperatures climb towards 97 degrees. Tonight we'll see mostly clear skies with a low temperature of 75. I'm WGNS meteorologist Dave Perrin. Right now, 81.
Maybe you need a new mattress. You can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen. Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Obamacare. Cap and trade. Body scanners at airports. Not defending the Defense of Marriage Act. Does this administration do anything constitutional? The 2010 election sweep was a start in the right direction, but much more needs to be done. Unfortunately, there are no quick political fixes. Getting back to limited government comes only in the form of educated voters who know the proper role of government. Curious to know what the proper role is? The John Birch Society has been teaching this for over 50 years. Call for a free DVD, Overview of America, and see why people are calling this the most profound video ever. Call 800-JBS-USA1 and ask for Overview of America. Pay only $5 for shipping and handling. Call 800-JBS-USA1 now.
This is your Good Neighbor Network, WGNS Murfreesboro, WETVLP Murfreesboro, W263AI Murfreesboro, and W270AF Murfreesboro.
We're back again, talking lawns and gardens. Our phone number is 893-1450. If you have a question or a comment this morning, 893-1450 with the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Pat Whitaker is with us, Master Gardener Jack Smith, and an intern to the UT Extension, an MTSU student, Mary Beth Lee. They're here to answer your questions. 893-1450. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine, Bart. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. I have a question concerning ivy geraniums.
Okay.
When I bought them, they were absolutely gorgeous. The leaves, you know, were lush green, and they were blooming and all that. Well, they are blooming now, and I have them hanging out I guess what you'd say, almost in full sun, which may be a problem. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the leaves, when they start coming out, they'll be a beautiful green, and then all of a sudden they start turning brown about halfway up the leaf, and the next day they're completely dead. And I'm not over watering. I keep them moist, and I'm feeding them, so I don't know what the problem is. I'm wondering if maybe the gentleman there might know. So.
And as you were saying that, Jack was shaking his head yes about the full sun, so that's not a good place, is that right?
I think that's that is one of the problems. You may want to, even though you're keeping them moist, you may want to let them dry out a little bit. Because
okay.
How often are you watering?
Oh, maybe every 3 days.
Try once a week.
Once a week?
Yes.
And get them out of the sun?
And get them out of the sun.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Oh, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Another question,
sure.
Real quick.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions on what to do for the little green worms that are taking over the ferns?
The little green worms on the ferns.
On ferns? No. I haven't. That's a new one.
I've never heard on my ferns.
No.
So.
Never
well,
heard
it right. happens every year, so it's not something new. I went to a friend's house, and she said, I don't know what's wrong with my ferns. They're dying. I said, shake them, and we shook them, and about 25 big brown worms came off. They're little tiny green to start with, and, I mean, I know what they are, but what do you use to keep them off?
You're bringing up something that I've never heard of is a worm on a fern to start with. I would first of all think that if you would go to, again, Farmers Co-op or Lowe's or someplace like this and get a product called 7.
Okay.
And sprinkle a little bit of 7 on there, and I think that would probably take care of the problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Have a nice day.
Good luck to you. 893-1450 is our phone number. Green worms on ferns.
I've never heard anything on my ferns.
Okay, if you have had green worms on ferns, call us and help us out on that.
I've had fern and never had a problem. They would grow in spite of you.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pat, you were telling us during the last break for the people who may have some tomatoes that are bland tasting, that there's a way to can them that make them tastier.
Well, the latest recommendation on canning tomatoes involves adding lemon juice to your product, and that would be like 2 tablespoons of lemon juice per quart of tomatoes. The flavor, the acidity of tomatoes in some varieties they've been bred now to be less acid, mm-hmm. In many cases, and so also the acidity of the tomato is affected by the weather conditions, by the soil conditions in which the plant grows. And so that can affect the safety of one's product canned. And so that's one reason when people check in with our office, I really recommend they get a fairly recent canning book, because the newer canning recommendations involve adding lemon juice to canned tomatoes.
Okay, so adding lemon juice
yes,
to it.
Yes, 2 tablespoons per quart.
That may be part of the problem that we had the gentleman call about the taste of tomato, is the low acid.
Yes.
Because they used to be much more acid than they are now.
Now, I've been Googling this fern question with worms, and I'm finding some things here with especially the Boston ferns and things of that sort, and they may all be similar. A little green caterpillar is sometimes the culprit. Mealy bugs, do any of those ring bells with you?
A mealybug does, but I'm not aware of them being on ferns. Usually fern will grow in spite of everything. I would say, but again, I think that but 7 or a product like that would be good for to take care of that insect on the fern.
Now, would you sprinkle that on the plant or around the soil?
I would put it on the plant.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you water it first to get the plant wet so it'll stay
too? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because that's a real fine powder and it adheres real well.
Okay, so just sprinkle 7 onto that plant and see what that does.
Yeah.
How often should you do that?
I wouldn't over once now and maybe a week or 10 days later try okay. again. And that should take care of the problem.
So you don't need much. Can you buy a small amount of 7? I mean, it doesn't come in a 20-pound bag only.
No. Okay. It'll come in a can the size of a Coke can or, a little larger.
All right. I couldn't envision whether somebody was taking home a giant bag of 7 or something.
No. It'd probably run you $5, $6, $7.
And, it's things like that we need to learn about when we do the gardens. We are sometimes our own worst enemy. I hear people calling with putting in heavy amounts of fertilizer and things of that sort, and then they get beautiful limbs and stems and stuff like that, but no produce
no
on
fruit.
It. Yeah, no fruit. So, and again, one of the greatest things to do, and it doesn't cost hardly anything, is a soil test.
Yes.
Before you try something.
Before you even start.
Yeah. Get a soil test. Right. And last for a whole year at least. I mean, they give you what to do for an entire year.
That's correct.
I think they cost
$6
now.
$6. Yeah.
Yeah.
And great a little investment. Bit of your time.
Yeah. And especially if you're working on a garden or trying to get grass to grow in your yard.
Yes.
Instead of, and I don't know how many people came when we were at a new home, and this is 30 years ago, it's not new anymore, but we were trying to get grass to grow. And everybody had the solution. I'll put lime in, and I'll till it in. And I can't imagine what we paid for all of that. And it was just a simple thing that the soil test would have fixed.
You drive down the street with 100 people living on it, and you had 100 experts.
Mm-hmm.
Because they all had a solution to the problem that they had. But the solution was a soil test.
Yeah. Back to being a master gardener. Okay. That can help you.
Yes, it
with
can.
With these things.
Yes, it can. And won't answer all the questions because there were one or two that I haven't been able to answer today. But yes.
But you know how to find the answers if you need to. And between your network of friends, you can come up with answers.
Yes.
And again, you're going to be over at the Ag Center tomorrow morning, 6 to 11, or somebody will
Someone
be.
Someone will.
All right.
Yes.
Does it cost to be a member of the Master Gardeners once you pass everything?
We have an annual membership to be a member of our group. To be a master gardener, no, it costs you nothing. Just a little bit of time, volunteer time, and whatever. But to be a member of our group is $25 for an individual, $35 for a man and his wife. You do not have to have completed the master gardener class to come to our group. It's called the Master Gardeners of Rutherford County. You don't have to. I have gone through the class. We encourage you to, but we have a program monthly, and we have a speaker monthly, and you can come and eat with us at 6:30 every third Monday evening at the Extension Service.
Sounds like fun, and you'll learn something too. And Pat, speaking of learning things, are you going to have any classes in canning soon?
Well, we have had them regularly up till now, and we're taking a little break from them right now. We've got some other areas of education we need to focus on, and we've been offering some cooking classes over at the farmer's market. So we're taking a little break right now from some of the canning classes, but if the demand's great, we may have another one this fall.
So whatever you do, keep in contact with the friends over there at the Agricultural Extension Service, and don't forget to go over there tomorrow, 6 in the morning to 11, and that's every Friday as well as Tuesday morning for the farmer's market right there at the Lane Agri Park on John Rice Boulevard, next to Paws and just down from Sam's. Thank you all for joining us this morning. We've been visiting from the Agricultural Extension Service. Pat Whitaker has been with us, Master Gardener Jack Smith, and an intern for the UT Extension, Mary Beth Lane, a student at MTSU. Have a super day. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Grandma's Camp right here on WGNS Murfreesboro.